We're talking, I think, probably right off the bat about serving others. And you'll notice in verse 11. And this is in Boaz is now responding to Ruth's question in verse 9. Very interesting response. And look at what Boaz says. Boaz answers her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me." So it's clear that somehow word got back to him about Ruth's service. And this word that you have done in the Hebrew obviously signifies labor. So he knew Ruth not by person, but by character. He had never met her till just recently. And he had heard all about her. Maybe the townspeople were telling, you know, how wonderful Ruth had been to Naomi. But there is I think what impressed Boaz most was Ruth's faithfulness. And we could go that route. We could go with the route that Ruth is faithful. But I think that would be one aspect. But service is probably a better avenue to take. And by the way, there is a spiritual truth here, even though we've seen different sides of God, that God sees us in our service. That's kind of a scary little photo. These people are walking around and there's a big eye watching them. Let me just say this. Ruth was definitely, there's much more going on here I think too, but Ruth did a real service to her mother-in-law. She could have gone back to Moab. She could have stayed there. She chose to serve her mother-in-law. And I think some of that was the faithfulness of God to reveal to Naomi that God's not going to abandon you. But the reality is that the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. God is watching. God knows. He's all present, all knowing. He sees us. He sees the sins of men. He sees what's going on over in the Middle East, our embassies being attacked. He sees those things. He sees the brokenhearted. He sees the downtrodden. He sees those that do not know him. He sees all of that. But also, God sees us as his children. Now, Boaz says to her, "I know about your service." If we slide that into the realm of theology then, we would simply apply that God knows what we do. I think all of us would basically agree with that. God sees us. Nothing escapes his notice. He's always there. He's all-knowing and also, by the way, all-caring. He cared for Naomi. Ruth comes up and becomes a personal image of how he will not abandon his children. But at the same time, God knows our service. I love that verse. The Lord sees from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. Now let's look at Ruth's action. Now notice in verse 11b, he says, "And how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." So here, I think Boaz acknowledges that he knew about her service. And we'll stop periodically just for a minute when we go through these. First of all, she was kind to Naomi. All the things she had done, she stayed with Naomi. That's definitely a sign of kindness. Also, she left her family. I don't know if any of you, how many of you, just by a show of hands, I mean, within the immediate 50-mile radius, how many of you grew up here? Wow. Okay, how many of you did not, beyond the 50-mile radius, how many of you did not grow up in this area? Okay, so the ones that grew up in this area, okay, now of those that just answered, raise their hands. How many of you grew up beyond the 50 miles? Let's say, how many go over 300 miles away from this area? How many of you grew up over 300 miles? It's getting shorter. Okay, so we have about 5. What about 700 miles? Anybody? Oh, wow, still got some going on there. Okay, 3. 3,000 miles? Where did you come from?
Seattle.
Okay, that's about right, Seattle. That's Fraser Crane out there, right? Seattle. Where at? Oh, you can't talk? Oh, military, okay. You know, that's funny because this was in my notes. When I was 19, of course, many of you know I went in the Army. I had only been out of the state of Florida twice, and that was just to Kentucky. And I remember the day that my mother put me on the bus to go to basic training. My mom doesn't know this, but I saw her crying in the car. Well, then I went basic training in Georgia. Awesome. Yeah, I never seen anything like it. You know, red clay, camping out. Then the day that I graduated from AIT, still Fort Gordon, Georgia, I got orders for Germany. I got to go home for 14 days. When I got on that bus to go to the airport, something happened inside of me. I'm not going to be in America anymore. I got on that plane 8 hours later. You probably had some too, right, Dave? I get to Germany and everything is different. It's totally different. The language, the culture, everything's different. 2 years, I was the most homesick 19-year-old boy you've ever seen in your life. I woke up from my bunk one day and I said, "What am I doing here?" 2 years, all I did was, "I want to go home, I want to go home." Started kind of thinking about Ruth. She left her family. But not only did she leave her family, she left her homeland. And I'll tell you this story, and I've probably said this before, and it's because now that I'm 53 or thereabouts, I may start getting the stories condensed or whatever. The happiest day of my life was the day that I got on that plane at Ramstein Air Force Base headed back to the United States. Got on the plane and we flew into New York City. And the captain said this, "Look out the right side of your plane and you see the Statue of Liberty." I saw that and I knew I was home. Naomi, or Ruth, she left. I think about missionaries this week. I thought about missionaries and how they leave. Now, they may come back, but they leave and they go to a foreign. I'm telling you what, folks, that's not easy. It took me a long time to learn the German language. I was there 5 years. Second time over, it wasn't as bad. I was ready. I was married then. I had kids. It was a different environment. But I was homesick those first 2 years. You go out on a culture and you try to explain to them, I want a Coke. Noch ein Coke bitte. I mean, I still got some of it in me. I can still remember it. The spies are caught the bitter. They'd hand you the menu. But you have to adjust, and Ruth is going to have to adjust. But not only that, she embraced the new culture and a way of life, the people of God. All of these things, even though Moab was really not that far away, she was coming into a totally different culture, a totally different environment. Boaz knew that, and he was going to take care of her. By the way, I think maybe if we look at that, sometimes it's okay. It really is okay to go outside your comfort zone. Maybe if God's called you to do something, you step out of that comfort zone, even if it's something you're not familiar with. Well, it's all right. It's all right. Now, she left her homeland. She embraced a new culture. But when you do that, be mindful of the fact that God will reward us. Now, by the what I mean to say is, when God clearly tells you to do something and you do it, there will be a reward. Now, notice there's a promise given in 12:8. Now, notice also that Boaz, who has let her glean in the fields and those types of things, but notice what he turns to now as a confirmation for full payment. Look at this. The Lord repay you, the Lord, Yahweh, again, God surfaces. The Lord repay you for what you have done and a full reward given you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Boaz certainly did give her gleaning opportunities and would take care of those physical needs, but he leaves the fuller reward to Yahweh. To repay in the Hebrew comes with the idea of economics. So in other words, God will provide for her materially, financially. But the full reward also refers to not only wages, but to that which is perfect. That means God will give us a perfect reward. This was the Academy Awards this year, and to be honest with you, I don't know exactly when they held them, because I think the last Academy Award that I saw was in Hawaii, probably 1984. I don't watch it, but I guess these, maybe you'll email me later and say, no, you got that wrong, but that's okay. I guess these are the movies for the big award. I did see this one. That's an interesting movie. It's not a talkie, but I don't know who won, but all I know is they have these big Academy Awards every year. And these people fight, and I think fight's a good word. These people fight for this. That's an Oscar. It's gold. And as I thought about the reward that God gives us, I think about that we're not supposed to store our treasures upon heaven and upon earth, where moth and rust can destroy them. These people work, some of them, purposely just to get this award. I don't think Ruth fit in this category. I think Ruth served Naomi because she loved the God of Israel. And I think that speaks a lot to the fact that we need to be careful. And by the way, all of you, those of you that are in Christ today, do you know that you will receive a reward for what you have done? Did you know that? Your service, you will be rewarded. 1 Corinthians, I wrote it there on your outline. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says this. Now, if anyone builds a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. That's the day of judgment. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So in other words, anything that you have done in your life for God, the works that you have done will be tested someday. All those committees that you've served on through your life, all of those committees you served on, and God looks at the motivations of the heart too. We got to be careful. He sees everything. He sees us. He sees our heart, obviously. But everything I've done, everything you've done, is going to pass before the judgment seat, and it's going to be tested with fire. Fire is purifying. Fire is purifying. So God will be able to know whether what you did passes the test. Now, this is the grace of God, by the way. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Here's the deal on this. That if your work is burned up, and everything that you've done is either to bring glory to yourself, to secret motivations of the heart, why I'm doing this, it's going to come out someday. But if you're able to maintain that, and all of your work was done for God, you're going to be rewarded. And the good news about all of this, I think, is this last line. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You may go through this entire Christian life and may work for God, and everything that you've ever done gets burned up, except your salvation. Because that was not a work that you did. I think it really is a good reminder. God promises to reward us. And I think a wrong motivation would be to do the rewards simply to get a reward. I don't think Ruth was in this category. I think Ruth did it because she loved God and she wanted to take care of Naomi. And now Boaz says, I want the Lord to repay you in full for what you have done. He leaves the final judgment, if you will, to God. And God will take care of her. By the way, God will take care of you. You do know that. God will take care of you. He's helping you more than you know even today. Now the provision, how God does this, well, obviously the Lord repay you for what you have done and full reward will be given to you. Obviously, God used Boaz in some sense to repay Ruth, but not in full. How many of you have stories here today where somebody gave you something you did not deserve, and it was good? How many of you have stories today where you needed this exact amount, and somehow it showed up in your box? Huh? Yeah, a lot of you. You know what that's about, right? That's about God strategically moving people into your life to take care of your needs. God uses them. By the way, you should return the favor someday. And when somebody has a need, you become the messenger of God for them. And obviously, God took care of Ruth through Boaz. That was one. But I wanted, and I put it on your outline, God uses ordinary people to meet our needs sometimes. And this is a clear principle. Not only are we going to be rewarded, but God will meet our provisions. Sometimes it's through other people. How many of you love to be helped by others? Yeah. Okay. None of us do we? It kind of makes us, I don't need that help. But it's awesome when God uses that and meets those needs. Now, this leads us, and by the way, this was in a scripture that came to my mind this week. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Listen to this. God owns Wall Street, God owns everything, and he has the resources to take care of your needs. They think they own it, but it's God's. And God can meet your needs through this. He met Ruth's needs, he met Naomi's needs, maybe not physically or financially, but spiritually through Ruth, saying, I'm not going to leave you, and it's an image of God. He takes care of these things. God, everything that he has is, everything in the world belongs to God. And he can use those things to take care of you. Number three, but he will also give us a place of refuge, and this is where I want to camp for about 10 minutes. Now notice he says, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That refuge in the Hebrew is a verb. It's also a qual verb, which is different from a nephile and some other verbs. But this is what it means. It's hasa. Go to a place where one finds safety, rest, or comfort. Implying a place of refuge or rest, a place that is to be trusted. So when we read here in this verse that she found comfort under the wings of God, notice how Boaz says that. Right after this, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given to you by the Lord, under whose wings you have come for refuge. I want you to watch this clip. I think it's pretty good. Oh,
called out to the multitudes. He said, come to me. All who are weary, come to me. And I will give you rest. He said, I will give you rest if you come to me. So today, I want you to stand up and come down to the altar.
I always felt church is like a hospital. It's where sick people go to get well.
Anybody out there that needs praying for today, or maybe you just need just a little encouragement, Jesus said,
whenever I went to church, I felt hope.
Come on, come to me. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
You guys got to get busy, start yelling and shouting and stuff. I like the little colored thing there, that multicolored thing. Maybe I'll wear that some Sunday. You do know that your refuge is not found in anything other than Christ. You do know you do not find shelter from this world. I saw a gold commercial the other day. I own gold now because it's going to protect me against the problems of the world. Come on. Yeah, there's financial security, but our security is found in Christ and Christ alone. Ladies, get ready to go, ah. This little guy is us. This is God. Ruth found shelter under God's wings. I don't care where you go, what you do in this life, no matter how bad things get, you run to God for your security and for your rest and for your strength. I'm serious about that. Church is a place where we can come, obviously, and you can talk to God here at the altar. Church is a great place of security. We have believers. We all know each other. We know our struggles, hardships, trials. That's fine. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you've got to run to God to find your strength and your refuge. You will not find it in Pastor Mike, though I can help in certain areas. You will not find it in your deacons, though they can help in certain areas. You will not find it in one another, although it can in certain areas. But your ultimate security, please listen, your ultimate security and protection from this world comes from God through Jesus Christ. This is where you need to be. It's so easy. Naomi, Ruth, they came back. Ruth comes. And Boaz says it very beautifully. This was a pretty easy picture to come up with. But I like that little guy because I saw myself. In times when you go through storms in your life, I love the definition of this, a place that can be trusted to keep one safe. I don't care what you're going through today. I mean, I do care what you're going through. What I meant is, you know what I mean. I don't care what you're going through. That's not what I meant. It doesn't matter. It's a better way. It doesn't matter what you are going through in this life. You still have to depend on God for your security and for your strength. Be amazed how many Christians think that their security is found in their husband, their home, their environment. Your security is found running under the wings of God. Lastly, when we serve others, God will reward us, but He also will give us a place of refuge. Notice Ruth's response. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me. Oh, this is awesome. You don't even know it until you look at the language. This is awesome. You guys can't tell I'm fired up, right? Okay. Spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Grace. Grace. But it gets awesome. Watch this. The word comforted. Naham. I love that. Naham. Means to be in a state or condition of finding a measure of relief from sorrow and distress, and so be consoled or encouraged. Then she says something that freaked me out. Spoken kindly. On the surface, it just looks like, you know, you did a great job. You helped my mother-in-law. You did that stuff. But when you break this baby down, maybe I shouldn't talk about God's word as a baby, but I like it. Labe. Labe. Get ready for this. Because this is God too. Watch this. This is awesome. I build it up. Here it comes. Ba, 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 ba. Awesome. That word kindly refers to the heart. The blood pumping organ of the body. She wasn't just saying, oh, you've comforted me. You have spoken to my heart. You have comforted me inside. And that is, if that is not a picture of how God speaks to us, I don't know what is. She was telling Boaz that you don't know what you've done by your words, but they have cut me to the heart. God's language is just absolutely fascinating. You know, when you've gone through a bad day, or you've gone through a rough time, or you're in a rough time, have you ever had God visit your heart? When he speaks to you, maybe not like on Mount Sinai with flashes of lightning and thunder, but when he speaks to you in the quietness of your heart to say, it's okay. You ever had those moments? When you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God speaking to you, every fiber of your being running through you, and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God. Do you know what that is? That's a place of refuge. When God spoke to me in that dream, and I'm not a charismatic, you guys know me. I may get a little fired up now and then when I preach, but when God spoke to me in that dream, I never forget it. I still see it. I'm kind of visualizing it now. And he said, Jesus, cut your roots, go preach the gospel. That confirmed there was no way I was turning back. See, when God speaks to your heart, you will obey. And you will listen. And you will trust. Because you know from whom you have received it. Boaz now becomes an image of God for Ruth, saying, this is how God treats you. And by the way, that's how God treats us. And I'll say this, that if you haven't heard the voice of God in a long time, when was the last time you heard the voice of God? If you haven't heard the voice of God in a long time, this would be a recommendation. Is maybe invite God to speak to your heart. Say, God, there may be some repentance involved in this, but I don't know. But just ask God, God, I haven't heard your voice in a long time and I need to hear it. I'm convinced God will show up and he'll speak to your heart. I think sometimes the cares of this world and trying to do all the things that we have to do in a 50-hour week that we just kind of run and, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to just quickly look at some scripture. Yeah, that's good. It's good to read scripture. I'd never discourage you from reading scripture. But maybe we get so busy that we just miss the voice of God. But no matter how you look at it, this is what Ruth said to Boaz. Thank you, Lord. You've comforted me. You've spoken kindly to me. I want to acknowledge that and thank you. When was the last time you thanked God? He gives you the refuge, the place of safety. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank you? Somebody once said, it was a pastor. He said, the first sign of spiritual trouble is an attitude of ingratitude. Hope you're not there today. My hope is that you'll come under the wings of God and that you'll find the place of refuge that you so desperately need. No matter what it is you're going through today, this altar, God is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That you can talk to him and give him everything. And let me tell you, God listens. And you might just find that if you would truly turn over whatever circumstance or situation that's going on in your life, if you would just turn it over to him, lay it at his feet, you might be surprised to find out that God will speak to you. Charles Spurgeon, this was in this book too. Charles Spurgeon said, and everybody listens, Pastor Mike says, Charles Spurgeon says, oh, we got Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, I don't mind, it doesn't matter. In whatever way Christ has preached, it doesn't matter. Charles Spurgeon said this, two pastors, every Sunday that you preach, your pews are full of people with broken hearts. That hit me. That hit me this week as I was going through my reading and other things. What I hope to do with this message today is help you see that if you work for God and you serve him, that he will reward you, but also that you can run to him for a place of safety and refuge. That's it. That's my 3 points. Maybe some of you are really hurting this morning. Run to God. Maybe there's other things. Trust God. Get to that place of safety and say, okay, I'm going to block everything out, and God, just talk to me. He will. That's the God I worship.